Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Live with Kathy. A day before the celebration, our Independence Day. It's an exciting show. Stay tuned. Iron Workers, a bridge to your future. Iron Workers are a breed unto themselves. They're visionaries, co-creators of structures that without iron workers would not be standing today. The beauty of their work never to be seen by the naked eye. The pride and dedication is in the end result. Buildings, monuments, bridges, factories that stand the test of time. You're listening to Live with Kathy on Blog Talk Radio, the world's largest social network reaching listeners in any country around the world. We are worldwide. Thousands of shows, millions of listeners. Discover what the world has to say. And today's show is very dear to me because if you remember, I married an iron worker. And I come from the world of classical ballet and haute couture. And they said it wouldn't last. Ah, what did they know? Now, before I introduce my special guest today, Tim Roman, I want to give you the contact information. If you want to contact me via email, it's Kathy, C-A-T-H-I, studio at sbcglobal.com. And then if you want to write to me, P.O. Box 95913, Hoffman Estates, Illinois, 60195. And then log on www.kathywatson.com and click on all of Z buttons. And now, dear people, dear listeners, hi, hello, Tim.
Hi, Kathy.
How you doing?
I'm doing good today. You?
I am just sassy when I'm talking about iron workers. Now, listeners, remember, iron workers offer a full spectrum in career development. Now, get your pen and pad out and write down www.ironworkers.org. Let me give that to you again. www.ironworkers.org. And remember, the shows are archived. So this week, last week, and on July 26th, I'll be celebrating my third year on Blog Talk Radio. But you could hear this show over and over again. And just by logging on blogtalkradio.com/Kathy Watson, CathiWatson. Now, Tim, you are the business agent for Iron Workers 8 in Upper Peninsula, Michigan.
That's correct, Kathy. We're a satellite office. Our headquarters is based out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. We have a jurisdiction that travels the whole eastern side of Wisconsin and the entire Upper Peninsula of Michigan.
Now, Tim, with all of the professions, with all of the jobs that you could have chosen, because, dear listeners, he is 30-something, and I usually refer to them as grasshoppers. Why did you choose ironworking?
It's something, Kathy, I think it was natural. My family's been ironworkers since around 1945 or 46. I kind of fell into it, actually. I was my generation. It's go to college. So I took that path. After high school, I did a year at community college trying to narrow down a profession. And between two semesters, I was trying to pay for college, working a couple of jobs. And my dad, I was going to say old man, that's talked to about your iron working dad.
Yeah.
He had a suggestion that, hey, I can probably get you some work. The summer hit and miss, you know, working some maintenance jobs and stuff where he was at. I did that and enrolled back into college, and in the meantime, apprenticeship opportunities opened up, and I applied. And about 4 or 5 months later, I got an opportunity in the apprenticeship, and I guess I never looked back from there.
Okay, let's back up a little bit. You said that you have a history of iron workers. Go back to 1945, did you say?
Yep.
Who was the iron worker, and what was his position? What did he do? Who was it?
It would have been my grandfather, my dad's dad, and his father would be my great-grandfather, and three uncles were all organized into Local 8 after they returned home from the war.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, my family came over as stonemasons from Austria. I think we track back to about the 1500s.
Mm-hmm.
And then steeplejacks, and then into the obvious next step with iron workers. At that time in the Upper Peninsula, there was a big boom in the mining and other natural resources, and I guess that's kind of the history in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And isn't it wonderful to know that after you finished your apprenticeship, you didn't have that humongous bill to pay tuition?
That was one of the selling points when I first really started looking at the apprenticeship was the amount of money you're capable of making if you were ambitious enough to go out there and chase it, and really boiled down to simple math that, you know, if I thought being a teacher would have been something I would have liked, but I looked at the student loans and I was like, well, I'm starting out as an apprentice. If I'm really motivated, I can do just as well of a salary as I could teaching. So it was an easy choice there.
I want to tell you something. You were very wise. I will not allow anyone to call iron workers or the tradesmen blue-collar workers. You guys, including your aunt, your great-grandfather, your grandfather, and your uncles, and even you are creating art that people aren't even aware of. So everyone knows that when you're in my company, you don't refer to ironworking as blue-collar. It takes brains, it takes strength, and it takes, the pride. You haven't been to one of their retirement parties. They have them every June. I want you to know these guys get together. The brotherhood, the solidarity is incredible. Pat each other on the back, and they relive the glory days when they were building a bridge in Indiana or the John Hancock in the city of Chicago. And they take their work with them everywhere, but the pride that they had in their face and in their words, to think that building would not be standing today if it weren't for ironworking. Now, Tim, give us the process for apprenticeship. And I wanted to be very clear and concise because I'm an outside advocate for ironworking. And yesterday at a luncheon birthday celebration for the Silver Fox, I talked to a kid that was sitting at a table close to us. I said, Michael, if you hate engineering, look into ironworking. And I said, you get paid while you learn. He said, really? And I gave him the information. But give us the steps. What is it that they're looking for in the apprenticeship program?
As far as apprentices, you know, things that folks would picture, you know, you need a somewhat independent individual that's not scared of the physical job. You know, it's very physical. The tools are heavy. Conditions are hazardous. So definitely folks that like challenges. Ambitious is another term. You know, we're looking at them stand-up type of guys that really are about something bigger than themselves, I think is a trait that really stands out with types of folks that we like to recruit. Obviously, those traits are all over the board, but as far as the technical side of it, willing to know how to weld iron, cut iron with torches, gas torches, rigging, and the math portion of it's geometry, simple mechanics. You know, we use the lever, the pulley, the wedge. So really physical learners too, hands-on type learners are guys that really strive in our industry. I think another thing that you look at that makes good ironworkers is it's something you can never conquer. every job, they're not cookie cutter type jobs. It's always a new challenge, whether it's the placement of the job or if you're working over a bridge, over water, or around a lot of public traffic. So it's really you're never bored as an iron worker. You're always facing new challenges.
What was your first job at? You were accepted. What were the questions that they asked? What was the process? Just give me one specific area that will be add more clarity to the apprenticeship program. What was the one thing that they asked you that you remember that most, other than something else?
Coming from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan and our great geography, which is about 17,000 square miles, one of the first questions was, do you have a suitcase? Another question that was right on the top of the list was scared of heights. Those are some of the obvious ones.
All right, so you did have a suitcase, and you're not afraid of heights.
That's right. Beyond that, they got into some specific, things about like what I shared with you about challenges and willing to learn and how you feel about authority and some of that basic stuff. Listeners, it takes somebody, to get to these surly men that you talk to find their soft spot. It's definitely having your mouth shut and your ears open and willing to listen to what they have to share with you. Mm-hmm. So that's some of the things that the generations before me definitely had a big influence on.
Mm-hmm. So number one, you have to be teachable.
Yes.
And number two, let's see now. Ears weren't made to shut, the mouth was. So you keep your mouth shut and your ears open, and you learn from these rough and tough iron workers. And what was your first? So you agreed that your suitcase, you were packed, ready to move. And what was your first job?
If I remember correctly, one of my first jobs was there was a paper mill that was doing a conveyor for some of their wood to be chipped and moved around a boiler. But it was structural work, and that was really when I really knew that's what I wanted to do, was when it was you and a partner and you're working with the crane and you're isolated from the rest of the pack with that group and fitting pieces of iron into place and the real definition of teamwork. That's what I knew really drew me. I played team sports in high school, and it just fit with my personality.
Okay, so how long, before we go into your being a business agent now, how long totally have you been in ironworking?
I was accepted into the apprenticeship in 1998. Late 2000, early 2001, I was a journeyman ironworker. And then I worked as a journeyman for about 7 years, and I was asked to step up and take on a role as a business agent.
Why? What did they see in your persona that they say, hey, this kid is really going to be good?
I like to say it's because I don't know how to say no. But that's some of the things I'm learning about myself now after being in this position for a few years. I'm starting to see what it takes, what kind of characteristics a leader has, and I guess I'm feeling comfortable with calling myself that. I'm willing to make decisions, and my age, I think, was, the folks knew that I have family that I have to answer to that had built these conditions for the last 60 years, and I'd be completely aware of that with looking to the future. I kind of take it as an honor, to kind of be in that position, because I think with every other job and career out there, with the baby boomers getting ready to fall off the job market, I feel like our craft up here in the Upper Peninsula is on the leading edge. Have a Generation X or Y type person that's got some experience now under this belt, hoping to help bring us into the future.
Okay, now, Tim, what's the cutoff age for iron workers? When do they retire?
All over the place. I do know through pensions and whatnot, iron workers in general are, we like to say, are cradle to grave, that once you become an iron worker, that you usually stick with that career till the time you're through, and we could go into all kinds of conversation on that. Generally, I think if a good man works 30 years in our industry, you know, his body's pretty well tired and wore out.
Mm-hmm.
55, 60 is generally where, you know, depending on which part of the country you're in, is where your retirement benefits are, you'd be eligible for those.
And all of you out there, we are pro-union all the way. Iron workers, just watch your back. There is a sense of solidarity that I haven't seen in any other area. And on the first, at the third of the month of the first, we love the check that comes from iron workers. It's dependable. Earn while you earn. Earn while you learn. I always get the two of them confused.
Yep.
And I think it's amazing. College is not for everyone. And why spend that money, and you've got thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to pay in student loans, and I'm all for higher education. This is not a blue-collar industry. It's the white-collar of creative art and the classics coming together. Now, do you have, it seems to me, and I hope I'm not putting you on the spot here, that iron workers are very sensitive to our veterans that are coming back from how many tours in wars and they don't have jobs. Is this with impact that veterans can apply, and if they qualify, they're put to work?
Yeah, there's a program called Helmets to Hard Hats.
Uh-huh.
And it's actually sponsored by the National Building Trades, kind of a conduit for all the crafts. Not just iron workers, but the other trades out there are all advocates of finding work for veterans.
Well, that's good to know. All of you out there, you're listening to Live with Kathy. And my guest is Tim Roman, business agent, Iron Workers Local Aid in Upper Peninsula, UP, Michigan. And if you've got a kid, if you know someone that's kind of floundering, you know, in uncharted waters, I don't know what I want to do, how am I going to find out? Log on www.ironworkers.org. And then I have another website for you. Now get your pen and pad out. I'll read this slowly because there's a video, and it's about anyone that's interested in learning more about ironworking and the proud men and women, and we'll get to women after I give out this information, who work in the trade. The link is www.bit.ly/workwedo. You're listening to Live with Kathy, and again, my guest is Tim Roman. How many women do you have working in your genre?
They're few and far between, Kathy. I think there's probably not as many as the leaders of various locals would like to see. They're always encouraged. In different parts of the country, they do a better job at recruiting and finding these females. And I don't know if that has something to do with maybe the way colleges and vocational education is geared up to promote women to going into the welding fields and whatnot. I've worked around a few. I know Local 8 has, throughout our jurisdiction, three or four females. I could say that's, you know, through Facebook, I've got a few friends on the West Coast. There's quite a few females out that direction. They're a little few and far between.
Okay, now, Tim, let's get to the core of this. We know that iron workers could be rough. Do they accept women alongside them working?
Without a doubt. If if a female has got the attitude and everything else that it takes, just like the young guy, you probably she's gonna have the support of everybody, just like that young guy, if not maybe some more, because I think that's part of the ironworker's attitude. You're always out for the underdog. The warrior type mentality is to defeat mm-hmm. something bad and win something good. So,
well, the Silver Fox, that's Bill, he retired from Indiana Local 395, and he worked in Local 1 in Chicago. But when he was a pusher, and he did everything. And I asked him one day if he had any females, and he said, yeah. And he said, I want to tell you, at some point in some of our situations, they outdid the men because they think differently than men do. And he said, we have absolutely no issues with them at all. And the work has to get done. There's no two ways about it. Listening to Live with Kathy, and Tim Roman is my guest, ironworker, business agent. I need to ask you something. Have you ever rappelled down a building outside?
I've never rappelled down a building. I have rappelled on a rock wall out in the woods up here in the Upper Peninsula before, but never down a building.
What's the difference between a rock wall and one on the outside of a building?
Not a whole lot, technically. I would have liked to try the building. It was never in the scenario.
Well, put down May 2014 with the respiratory lung. They're doing rappelling, a 27-story building. And they bring in the experts from Canada to teach you before you actually do the rappelling. And how difficult is it?
The hardest thing is to get from vertical to horizontal. I mean, but once you realize and trust the equipment, it's actually quite fun. At least that's what I found it.
What strength did you need, upper body or leg?
The mechanical advantage in the equipment, it wasn't a great deal of strength, enough to hold, part of your body weight away from the building and enough to keep the rope Loctite, and this was technology 10 years ago. It may be different now, but very, very doable. It was didn't take a great deal of physical strength at all.
Okay, I'll keep you posted. Now let's go back to how and why did the ironworkers get the reputation of being rough and surly when you and I know that they're teddy bears?
That's a tough one for me, Kath. Like we've talked in the past, I guess what I've narrowed it down to is, I think in general, ironworkers, they don't have a lot in common with maybe the general public. Other ironworkers and their families know what these guys are about and know that they're just rough on the outside, and maybe it's just that that attitude that we carry about what we do every day in, day out of work. We know maybe there's a little bit of ego there, knowing that we go places that not the average person dares to go. But I think generally it's amongst, there's a little bit of a gap there between the general public and other ironworkers and that brotherhood that you mentioned before.
Well, I have to tell you, when we lived in the Gold Coast and on Michigan Avenue, and there's always construction going on, and the guys would line up and sit on the abutments or whatever, and they would whistle and holler. I thought it was hysterical. And I would see the looks on other females, and I said, hey, they're just flirting with you. Be flattered, because they're the ones that made it happen for you to go into a building and to get to where you're going. And so I always, when I see them, I just applaud them. You have to log on www.ironworkers.org. Now, let's talk about the the homage that they pay to family and friends. The International Iron Workers Festival. Tell us about that.
Well, the festival is, it's been, this year, they call it the 30th consecutive year. I've done some research trying to figure out exactly when the festival started. Some guys say they were at the first one in 83, some in 84. But irregardless, it started in Mackinac City. We have the Mackinac Bridge that connects Lower Michigan and Upper Michigan. It was started by a guy the name of J.C. Stillwell, an iron worker that worked on the Mackinac 30 years ago, just to kind of pay homage to that area and that bridge and how many what it did for the area and for the iron workers. You know, it was a engineering feat of its time, built in 1957. So I think that was really where the festival was birthed, was with that in mind. So it's been going on for 30 years. It's an event with the Mackinac Bridge in the background. The iron workers get together from all over the country and Canada, and we compete in our skilled events. Skilled events are the obvious of the column climb, where we race to the top of a 30-foot column. We throw spud wrenches at a target. For the folks that don't know what spud wrenches are, they're a wrench on one end and a pointy end on the other, and it's a steel erection tool for lining holes. And there's a way that you can throw them and get the pointy end to stick in the board. That's kind of a fun event. It's not necessarily a skill set that you use on the job site. Most guys would get in trouble if they got caught throwing spuds on the job.
I would think so.
Yep.
An owie.
Yep. Then there's a knot tying contest, rivet toss, and a rebar tying contest.
Mm-hmm. And you have rides and attractions for the little ones. And what
yes.
about the food? What do you have for food? I know how iron workers love. They have a love affair with food.
Yes, we do. We usually attract different vendors in different years, whoever we can catch, and we try to change it up, everything. You know, more like kind of like carnival food, I guess, would be the best I could relate it. But, you know, a barbecue, there will be a barbecue grill going on, corn on the cob. This year we're going to have a vendor from the UP come and sell pasties and maybe
What's
maybe
that?
Some fish fry. Pasties are it's an old meal. I compare it to a sandwich, but it's a crust that encloses bread, meat, carrots, rutabagas. It's an old mining and logging food that they would take in their lunch all day, wrapped up in tinfoil. So it's a kind of a dish that's got a lot of history up here in the camp type jobs.
Mm-hmm. Now, is there an entrance fee? Do you have to pay to attend this?
Nope, free to the public. The only cost is for folks that want to compete, and all that does is offset the cost of the T-shirts that we provide. For the competitors, so really nice prizes. The vendors is the one that is really taking a good turn in the last couple of years. We've got a graphite pencil artist out of the Missouri area.
Ron Hoyle?
Yes, Ron Hoyle comes to the festival and sells art and displays his stuff. We've got another
Beautiful artwork.
Yep. So we've got Ron and another guy that makes his own ironworking tools. He comes there and sells wrenches and boots and other tools. Different locals come in with their T-shirts of their logo of their area. It's good fun. The kind of stuff that the ironworkers like to buy, you know.
Absolutely. Now you could log on www.ironfest.com. And remember now, the Live with Kathy shows are all archived. So I've been told that sometimes I give out the information too fast. And if I do, all you need to do is to log on blogtalkradio.com/Kathy Watson, CathiWatson, and click on July 3rd. And then I want you to listen to subscribe to the Impact YouTube channel. And that website is youtube.com/ironworkersimpact. So I've given you four websites, but if you truly want to find out about ironworking and be part of the growth of this world, because I was in Malaysia, and I saw, no matter where you go, you see ironworkers, ironworkers, ironworkers. Be sure and log on www.ironworkers.org. So are you looking forward to the Iron, when is the date of the festival?
The festival is August 9th. 10 and 11, 2013. It's coming up quick. In fact, I checked out the website today. There's a ticker on there, and it said 36 days. That was a little bit of a reality opener for me.
All right. Now, where do they stay? What accommodations? What motels? What hotels are around there?
The beautiful thing about the area, it's a tourist type area, and there's all sorts of lodging available throughout Mackinac City and little boutique shops, and Mackinac fudge is a popular item. So it really, it helps the ambiance with bringing the family in. And there's Mackinac Island that's out in the waters of Lake Michigan and Huron. So it's a real fun family geared area.
Now, how many from your family will be there?
I'm pretty sure I will have, currently ironworking, myself, my brother, and I have two cousins that are all fourth generation. I expect three of the four to be there joining me. One travels the country working for a contractor, so he's not in the same situation as the other two young single bucks, you know. But, yeah,
Now,
I expect those two to be there helping me out set this festival up this year.
Is your father going to be there?
That's hard to say.
And where do they live?
They're all located in Gladstone, Michigan, Sun Lake, Michigan, the South Shore of the Upper Peninsula.
Now, tell us about the 80-year-old who's going to climb that column again.
Bernie Noble. Bernie Noble's out of Lower Michigan, the Battle Creek Hall, Local 340. Bernie turned 80 last year. He's been a diehard advocate for the festival for many years, probably all 30 of them. Bernie also does, we have a parade and some demonstrations of the old, you know, ironworking nowadays is done with bolts, nuts and bolts, and in the past it was hot rivets and a rivet gang, and Bernie still carries that tradition of putting on a live rivet demonstration. And so he's involved deeply. He manages to climb the column every year. A great deal of support, too. I mean, it's getting a little more difficult for him every year, but the cheering for him to get to the top is getting louder and louder. So I don't know.
And that's what really propels him up there.
Yes.
Tim, it has been a pleasure talking with you. Our guest, Tim Roman, business agent, ironworkers, Local 8 in Upper Peninsula, Michigan. And the date of the festival is August 9, 10, 11. And log on www.ironfest.com. Thank you so much for taking out the time to share with the world. And how would you encourage your closing remarks to motivate people, to inform them, to say, hey, if you don't look at it, you'll never find out? What inspirational message are you going to leave with us today?
Hey, the adventurous types of folks that are out there are the ones that really fit the mold of the iron workers, you know, the ones that want to explore, want challenges, you know, can handle mind over matter. You know, it's a great career opportunity, and it doesn't just end with the construction business. Or I should say working in the field. I mean, there's so many opportunities for a person beyond to work their way up, whether it's project managing into the safety, engineering. It's an awesome doorstep to engineering because you get the different perspective of actually physically putting these things together. And, I mean, if you want a job that you never go to the same place day in and day out, you never have to be worried about that with a career in the construction trades.
It won't be boring.
Not at all.
Not at all. Thank you again, Tim. It was my pleasure. We all thank you for sharing your passion for ironworking.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity, Kathy.
And happy 4th of July.
Yes, you too.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. You've been listening to Live with Kathy on Blog Talk Radio, reaching any country in the world. And this show is all about you. It's a celebration. Because, you see, we've all participated in the birthing of a nation. And I couldn't think of anyone more appropriate to be on the air to celebrate Independence Day than the ironworkers. And we're going to take a brief moment to introduce you to all of my sponsors. And Live with Kathy is sponsor-driven. Ironworkers District Council of Chicago and Vicinity. And as an outside advocate, my mission and purpose is to acknowledge ironworkers and to recognize them as co-creators of art in the form of creative construction, to illuminate the character of ironworkers, their hidden talents, to pay homage to their commitment to family work ethics revealed not only in their artistry, but in the spirit of brotherhood and solidarity. And you heard Tim talk about it earlier. Ironworkers offer a full spectrum in career development. Earn while you learn. Log on www.ironworkers.org. And just get this sense of knowing that you are helping to build America. And not only here locally, but globally. There are iron workers everywhere. And in solidarity, they have a passion for what they're doing and their contributions. www.ironworkers.org. Now, you all know that the Silver Fox and I are exercise evangelists. And do you know that all the years that he tied rods, he would come home, clean up, have dinner with the family, head out to the gym. He is a consummate exerciser. And I want all of you to remember this. Now get your pen and pad out and write down, our brains and body don't age, we do. To this day, by the way, the Silver Fox celebrated his 86th birthday yesterday. But he's not retired. He is refiring his passion. He looks at this, they call it the winter of our years? No. It's the springtime. We run the Boulder Boulder in Colorado every year. We didn't do it the past 2 years. He had some little issues with his back, and we're still having, but we're making progress with it. But to not exercise, to not get up in the morning and go out and work out, and by the way, he's an excellent pool player, and he's the oldest there, and they just love him, and he's doing great. Eye and hand coordination, your cognitive effort. So don't retire. Refire your passion. And we do that at the Hoffman Estates Park District. Now, they have a 50-plus consortium. If you're bored and lonely, honey, it's your choice. Don't have to be. You have park districts, senior centers, and the libraries that are there to help you get back into living life like it's golden. Hey, what good is it to live longer if the quality of life has eluded you? Why? Because of your choices. You're not doing anything. You're just sitting on your butt in entitlement and let everyone else take care of me while your body just rots away. And that's what happens. The body and the brain need exercise. That blood flow has to keep going and going. It needs the oxygen that that's another show. You can get it at any of the park districts. Riga is the director extraordinaire, and I see them there in their 70s and 80s with their aches and pains. But here's the good news, or maybe you didn't know this. Without exercising their bodies, they would be in a wheelchair. Now, look, I'm not medical. Write that down. I'm not medical. But I get enough information, and we can't imagine starting our day without exercising. You see, some people come into this life, and they go through an exercise phase. We never outgrew ours. And I'm a stair climber. 50 flights on March 10th, 2013, 25 minutes. It wasn't my best time, but, you know, I finished. I may have been the oldest, but I wasn't the slowest. I beat out girls 30, 40, 50 years old. And one gal took almost 2 hours. So, if you want to look at exercising your body, both men and women, look at ironworking. Man, you'll get a workout that you'll never get at a gym because it's making you think and work. Now, you can call Rika at 847-885-7500, extension 626, or log on heparks.org. And, you know, we're talking about, you know, these tough, rough, surly iron workers. But you want to know what? They know that looks do matter. Have you ever seen them at a party or at a the retirement parties? Man, they outdress the women. They come in with their suits and sometimes ties. And their big burly muscles and their cute little tinker toy bell on their arms. I'm always amazed when people say to me, oh, it doesn't matter how I look. Oh, yes, it does. Because when you look in the mirror, did all of you remember to pick up your mirror and to tell yourself how amazing you are and that you are the creator of your life? You design it. You choose everything in your life. Do you like what you see? When you feel good, you look good. If you look good, you feel good. There's a psychological and physiological reason for it. Don't tell me that it doesn't matter to you how you look. Oh, yes, you do. Now, you're all under stress, trauma, everyday happenings. In chapter, in Secret 7, in the Elixir of Youth, Secrets of a Spring Chicken, on page 42, I share with you my secrets for de-stressing our faces. And by the way, it was yesterday, you could own this product is so effective that you could only use it 3 times a week. And I said, yo, Watson, come here. Go and wash your face. And then meet me in your bathroom. And I got out this cream. And I patted it on his face. And I showed him how to pat it in. And his neck. And the top of his hands. Stress, toxicity, and trauma are leading factors in premature aging. And in many cases, premature death. Now this product is only available through me, Kathy Watson. You can email me at kathystudio@sbcglobal.net, and I'm going to give you my landline. You could call me at 847-882-8717, and I shall be delighted to mail it to you. But, darlings, remember now, all sales are final. I cannot be bothered with returns. I cannot be bothered with, well, use it for 30 or 60 days if you're not happy. No, I don't want that. You're going to use it. That's the end of it. All sales are final, and it is so affordable. And you know how to reach me. Greg McIntyre is our CPA, and this is July 3rd. Let me go back a couple of days. Let's go back to Sunday, which was June 30th. Did you have more month than money? And maybe you have a little financial quirk that you need to settle, you don't know how? Greg will be delighted to talk to you. 847-255-2012 or email ahtax@ameritech.net. Now, this is a call for action. Calling all women of the world, not only in America, but globally. 2013, the year to reign supreme, the year to let our voices be heard in solidarity. You know, together we can make a difference in diverse and remarkable ways. You know, the days of getting wealthy by working for corporate America are numbered. Try ironworking. 2013, the year to unleash your passion. Have you considered more profitable, less risking, and more of a soul-nourishing approach? Then I want you to think seriously about creating your own home-based business. Change is constant. You need to know when to shift your strategies to accommodate change. Oh, I know, it's scary, isn't it? But it doesn't have to be. What if I told you there's a way to fulfill your dreams? Home-based businesses offers an infinite opportunity to challenge yourself while making money. You don't need a college degree. Yes, you are smart enough. All you need is a desire to achieve. And today, more people are becoming wealthy, starting from nothing. And it could be you. It's pandemic. More women than ever are embracing the power of creating their home-based business. Now, here are the perks. You pick your own hours. You're the CEO. But let me remind you, this is a business. L&J Services will help you, and even I will help you create your business plan. We will help you find the product or the service that you could duplicate and duplicate and duplicate. But you need to call 773-685-6936. Imagine having the formula for living a healthy, energetic life and getting paid while you're doing it. Would $300, $500 extra a month make a difference? Residual income, passive income. Lee left corporate America 30 years ago and she was making $30,000 a year. Her husband challenged her and said, "Oh, Missy, you're going right back to corporate America. You'll never make that much money." She was so outraged. She said, "I ain't going back, honey." Well, today she has traveled the world, I don't know how many times, 8 cars, and every month she gets a four-figure check. Wouldn't you like that? Did I pique your interest? 773-685-6936. And you're listening to Live with Kathy on Blog Talk Radio, reaching listeners in any country around the world. And we have the pleasure of having Tim Roman on, who's a business agent with Local 8 in Upper Peninsula, Michigan. And we gave you all of the websites, www.ironworkers.org. Choose a career, not a job. It's all in the the core of it is your choices. And Bill Watson chose wisely. His father was an executive with Power Thompson. That goes back years and years and years ago. And out of the service, he thought, "Nah, I got to get moving. My body has to keep moving." And he just relives the glory days. And his eyes just shine when he talks about ironworking. I want to talk about the book Choices that was released October 2012. Awe-inspiring choices revealed by successful entrepreneurs, introduced by Kathy Watson. You'll find the books on my website, kathywatson.com. The Elixir of Youth, Secrets of a Spring Chicken, Choices, and The Heart of the Lion. You will love their stories. And it's a tribute to contributing authors, celebrities in their own right. Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, and Author House. You're listening to Kathy Watson, the advocate for iron workers everywhere. 26, I decided that I was going to write a story about iron workers. And I did a radio show with it on a conventional radio. But today, how exciting the world could hear me. It's Ballet on the Beam. Ironworkers, what a noble profession. Ironworkers date back to the 16th century from England, France to Britain, and finally working its way to North America. Man's quest for power and prosperity have fueled building developers' ambition to build ever taller buildings, soaring upward to the heavens. Buildings, towers that have defined cities, flavored with ingenuity and declaring their reach to spiraling heights of grandeur. Iron workers are a breed unto themselves, they're visionaries. Co-creators of structures that without iron workers would not be standing today. The Big John Hancock in Chicago tapped out May 6, 1968. The Empire State in New York opened in May 1931 and dominated the Manhattan skyline for 41 years. And under construction, the Freedom Tower in New York City and Chicago's newest, the Trump Tower, and the list goes on. I have a special place in my heart for iron workers. I married one 55 years ago. By all accounts, I'm sure the experts, whoever they are, would agree that no way in the world would a gal from the classical world of classical ballet and haute couture at high fashion find happiness with an iron worker. Don't you know you have nothing in common? It will never last. But wait a minute, not so fast. Classics and construction do complement each other. Granted, I didn't see the comparison early in our marriage. Egads, it was tough enough to get to know each other, warts and all, than to try to figure out if we were compatible. The honest truth, yeah, I had my doubts. Oh, yeah, about our so-called chemistry. Come on, didn't we all? But time and maturity prevailed. And here we are on the brink of our, this is 2013, 60th anniversary. And they said it wouldn't last. Ah, my analogy on the classics and creative construction. Ballet, the art of body discipline, encouraging change, forming and molding the body. Iron workers, the art of creative construction, beginning with blueprints, following a disciplined path to achieve a work of art. Haute couture, the world of high fashion, exquisite, beautiful expression colors, the effects of many hours behind the scenes in creating, designing, a mutual labor of love. Iron workers, the beauty of their work buried, never to be seen by the naked eye. The pride and dedication is in the end result. Buildings, monuments, bridges, factories that stand the test of time. The celebration? The bow. Bravo! Acknowledging, acclaiming for a brilliant ballet performance and fashion production. Iron workers. The tapping out ceremony after a construction project has been completed. Let the party begin. She towers so high, just scraping the sky. What a momentous occasion. The final beam of the Sears Tower in Chicago was put into place 33 years ago. The number of Sears employees, construction workers, and dignitaries who signed the final beam, 12,000. Similarities abound in the classics and creative construction, and yet are worlds apart. The Lyric Opera House in Chicago, 1929, home to famous ballet companies and opera lovers. My favorite ballet, Tchaikovsky's Swan Lake, the Pas de Deux, a magnificent tribute to the male dancers' athleticism and strength while performing a series of grands jetés. The swans' graceful movements are breathtaking and pay homage to years of arduous training. The Airy Crown Theater Auditorium, built in 1960, where global designers present their latest creations to the world. Glissade, gliding down the runway wearing the latest fashions, with all eyes upon me and my possibilities. The Lyric Opera House, the Airy Crown, yet another testimony and witness to the art form and dedication of iron workers and construction workers. Together, we created an interesting, complex life, but never boring. Best of all, we created three beautiful children, the youngest who's following in his father's footsteps. I just love it when Bob calls and asks, is Dad there? I need to talk to him. This gives Bill Dad, who retired in 1991 from Indiana Local 395, a chance to go back in time to relive the glory days when he was just starting, the rush, the thrill of being able to guide Bob, to mold him into being the best he can be, work ethics, integrity, taking pride in a job well done. Being a co-creator of a work of art, what could be more rewarding? A day doesn't go by that Bill doesn't talk about ironworking, 52 years plus in a profession he loved and still does, pointing out some of the jobs he worked on, specialty shops on Michigan Avenue in Chicago, bridges and steel mills in Indiana and Illinois. Ah, what memories. The Silver Fox continues to work out daily in the gym, where both runners and cross-train with weights religiously. Currently, I'm on a radio talk show, Reaching the World, from the airwaves to the high waves, sailing the high seas as a guest lecturer on international cruise ships, to the sky waves, Memorial Day, fly to Denver, Colorado to run the Boulder Boulder, a 10K road race, a family affair. This is our 10th running. Hey, move over, Seabiscuit. Yes, Virginia, there is life after 60. Retirement? Not even an option. In retrospect, ironworking provide a comfortable, secure life, and I wouldn't change a thing for the world. And listen, you guys, you could hoot, holler, and whistle all you want should I walk by. I will be so flattered. I salute all of you. I salute Jin Don with affection and best wishes for 100 years of health and prosperity. The pleasure has been all mine. Ironworkers, offering a full spectrum in career development. This is Live with Kathy on Blog Talk Radio. Happy birthday, America. And thank you, Tim Roman, the business agent, Ironworkers Local 8 in Upper Peninsula, Michigan, for taking out the time. It has indeed been our pleasure. The 4th of July. Be sure and fly your flag. Until Tuesday, this is Kathy signing off. Au revoir.